Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
We're rolling. Hour number two of the Gabe Kuhn Show is presented by the Memphis Showboats. Get your tickets now to see the Showboats at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. Go to UFL.com or call 901-341-7008. UFL.com or call 901-341-7008. If you're wondering, we usually have head coach Ken Wisenhunt on the show today around 4:30. But today we got the news that he is stepping down officially, and his O-line coach, who we've had on the show, is going to take over for him. But more on that a little bit down the road. Here today on the Gabe Kuhn Show, we bring on David Cobb at David W. Cobb on X. College football, college basketball for CBS Sports. He is with us now. David, how's it going, brother?
Hey, man. I'm still kind of recovering from last night a little bit.
Yeah.
Stayed up late and was very, very frustrated throughout the course of that game. Not that it didn't have its moments, the fact that they battled back. But anyway, I'm still kind of coming back from that.
I talked about it off the top of the show. They ended that game, for all intents and purposes, with a five-second violation. After a timeout, after the advance, I was not so easy on Tuoma Sasalo for that. That is the one thing you can't have happen. Obviously, a turnover is a turnover, but at least you tried to get the ball in a situation where you turned the ball over. That was gross. I understand he tried to draw up it was a flare screen to the corner for Desmond Bane. That was the first option. But that was like a 60-foot pass with Jimmy Butler splitting the difference. I hated that dial-up, that call from Tuomas Sisalo. If that's our first look at sort of crunch-time basketball in a pressure situation, I thought he failed that.
Yeah, right. And so, full disclosure, I had actually already rage turned the game off one time. Steph hit a three with, 49 seconds left or something to make it a six-point game, and I turned the TV off. And then I was like, I pulled up the game tracker on my phone. I was like, okay, I'm going to turn it back on. And then that happened, and I was like, okay, why did I turn this back on? That's the tough thing for Isalo is that, like, man, the sample size that you were given to prove you were a head coach pretty much sets you up to fail because the last 10 games of the regular season are meaningless for the most part. Anyway, the two that you really needed, you didn't get. And then you get into a play-in against the Warriors. So now, best case scenario, you're going against the Thunder. And, like, what's a pass-fail grade for that series if you even get there? So if the idea was to set up Isalo to succeed – I don't know that this transition plan at coach really did that very well.
Yeah. Let me ask you this too, because this is a big conversation people are having. Friday night they're going to play the winner of the Mavs and the Kings tonight. But Friday night 8:30 they'll be in FedEx Forum trying to play into that 1-8 series versus the Oklahoma City Thunder. There's some people that want them to lose the game so they can get into the lottery and get that 14th pick. How do you feel about that mindset? Curiously.
I mean, honestly. As a competitor, I hope the guys on the team aren't thinking like that.
They
are not. They don't care. They don't care. They don't care about draft picks. They don't care about that stuff. They're competitors. They want to go out there and play. But from a fan perspective, which, I mean, is basically what I am now when it pertains to the Grizzlies, I totally get it. I totally get it because I'm going to be honest, man. Like, if they end up in a series with the Thunder, I would be thrilled if they didn't get swept. Like, if they yeah. won a game in a series against Oklahoma City, I would be elated. It feels as hopeless as the Shane Battier-Pau Gasol playoff series did 20 years ago, you know? And it's, you know, that's a shame. So, like, just from a dignity standpoint, like, I don't want to see them go out there and lose four games to Oklahoma City by 30 points. That makes me want to vomit. So I'd be totally fine with snagging a lottery pick, because, hey, maybe you could trade that pick. Maybe
sure.
that pick could help sweeten a deal to go out and fix this roster. That's the problem, is the roster has holes and flaws. And, you know, it's like we're looking at Zach Edey here and being like, man, are you going to be our savior or not? And that's not really a fair position to put him in. So I'd be totally down with that, actually, to be honest, especially if Ja's ankle isn't 100%. What is a series against Oklahoma City going to look like if Ja Morant is not 100%? I mean, I shudder at the thought.
So two reasons I buck against this trend. One, obviously, I used to be a competitor, so I hate the anti-competitive nature of that thought process. So you mentioned that off the top as a competitor, kind of ridiculous. But also, like, you have other sweeteners. You own your own first round pick between 2027 and 2031. You have a first round pick between 2026 and 2031. You have multiple second round picks. Yeah, that pick, if you get it, is not going to make or break a deal. So I understand it would be a little bit of a sweetener, but it's not going to make or break a deal that you could make this offseason to make your team better. But also, David, this is going back to the competitor in me. I just find it a little disrespectful, right? You fight your ass off, whether it's a big chance or a small chance, for 82 games in the NBA to just give yourself a chance in the playoffs. And I think the people that have that mindset are basically saying, well, I think that 14th overall pick is more valuable than a playoff series, what you worked all year for. I hate that part of it as well. And I do think there's two things that can't exist at the same time. You can't sit there and want this team to instill a winning culture and want this team to get their playoff lumps and want this team to be better in the playoffs going in the future, and also at the same time want them to lose this game to get that 14th overall pick in all likelihood. There's a lot of reasons I don't like it, but I get the premise. I reject it.
Well, the problem is that as a collective whole, we've talked ourselves into believing the Grizzlies are a franchise capable of competing for an NBA title, and especially in this era with Ja, Dez, and Jaren in their prime. And when that's the prism that you're looking at it through, you're coming off a 48-34 regular season and you're disappointed. You make the play-in and it doesn't feel like enough. You don't even want to win a play-in game because, look at who we're going to have to play in the first round. And so it's almost like we have to recalibrate the expectations over what this franchise can accomplish, because I don't know if it was the 22 season and the results we had then, but somewhere along the line, we all started thinking, man, this is a team and a franchise and a core. We've heard that word so many times, a core.
Yep.
That could actually do something historic in Memphis. And it's like, do we need to just make our peace with the fact that, hey, that's probably not what it is. We're going to shoot for 50 wins every year, but we're a small market franchise and Ja is not Giannis. So therefore, we can't do what Milwaukee did. Either the expectations have to change, or results like what the Grizzlies have produced this season will be disrespected by the fan base.
I hear that. I think that's fair. All right, now moving on to a little bit of college football. We just got the news about an hour ago that Nico Iamaleava has found his home. It was a first reported by Colin Cowherd, and we'll get to the reasons behind it in a second, but it seems that he is committing to UCLA. And the early reports are that he's not going to get his $4 million. That's not a surprise. But what do you think about that fit for Nico?
it doesn't really make sense. Because this is a guy who was a returning starting quarterback for a college football playoff team, and now he's going to go play for a UCLA program that is just lost in the wilderness.
For likely less money, too.
For certainly less money. UCLA is broke in football. I mean, why do you think Chip Kelly left the UCLA head coaching job to go be the offensive coordinator for Ohio State? Oh, I get it. He and Ryan Day are buddies. Okay, right. Of course, right. I mean, they don't have any money. I mean, Mick Cronin hadn't had any money to spend in basketball out there. He's been complaining about that for years. I mean, I'm going to be honest, dude. Deshaun Foster last season to win five games as a first-time head coach in the Big Ten with UC, he did great. I thought he did a great coaching job. They won a couple of games they had no business winning. But, man, if you're going out there to play for UCLA, you're going to play for a first-time offensive coordinator in Tino Sinceri, a roster that is nowhere close to as good as Tennessee's roster, as imperfect as Tennessee's roster might be. It's a total downgrade in every sense. There's no way that Nico would have left Tennessee of his own volition and then said, yeah, I'm going to transfer to UCLA. He's going to UCLA because that's what the circumstances have forced him to do.
Yes, and I will say, when it comes to, and I know they switched offensive coordinators, well, it's going to be a first-time offensive coordinator, but last year, not really a good quarterback system, to be honest with you. But that leads me to the official PR from the I Am a LaVeya team, his dad and his agent. They said, it's not about money, it's about Tennessee's offense. Shout out to Jeffrey Wright for always doing this at the end of his show, but that is a tell your story if I've ever heard it. I mean, it's an effort at trying 100%. To deflect and make Nico seem like a team player and make it seem like they weren't just looking for the biggest paycheck. I don't buy it, but the idea that it was about Josh Heupel's freaking offense for a quarterback? Oh, my God. Look what he did with Hendon Hooker. Look what he did with Dillon Gabriel. Look what he's done with quarterbacks in the past. What are we talking about? That's a ridiculous excuse.
Yeah, right. So Nico and Papa Nico, can you guys explain to me the type of system that Tino Sinceri runs?
Right.
Can you explain that to me? Can you tell me why Nico's a perfect fit in that offense? Because I don't think we've seen that guy as an offensive coordinator before, right? So that's hilarious. But hey, at least Nico and his camp are trying. Like, they've just been getting browbeat on the PR side for the last week. It's hilarious. I think most people see through the spin that they're putting out there. But it's sad. Like, on the one hand, like, I kind of feel bad for Nico.
Sure.
Like, because it feels like he's been steered in this direction by adults in his life who he should be able to trust. And at some point, as a man, 20, 21 years old, however old Nico is now, you got to be able to sort of take the reins for yourself and say,
yep,
hey, thanks, but no thanks. I'm going to handle my business, right? He hasn't gotten to that point yet in his maturation. And so he's not totally blameless in this, but to a certain extent, I feel bad for him because he's so obviously received bad advice. He's had people negotiating on his behalf in bad faith and with bad information. And now, as a result, his career is going to suffer because UCLA is not going to be good this season. I think it's highly unlikely that he's better at UCLA than he was at Tennessee, playing in that system, on that roster, against that level of competition. It just seems like a lose-lose. And then the other loser here, UCLA had signed a quarterback. They had gone out and gotten Joey Aguilar from Appalachian State, who was a fairly highly regarded transfer himself. What happens with that guy now? I mean, does Tennessee get in on him? A legitimate question, because you might be able to go out and get a guy with Power 5 ability for a quarter of the price that you were paying Nico. So I don't know. I mean, I haven't heard that, but I'm just saying that could be an option for Tennessee, because he's a player who's been around the block a few times, who's put up some big numbers in big games. So that could be something to monitor.
Now, something I saw Urban Meyer say recently, I think it was on a podcast, the Triple Option Show. I think it was his own. I'll give him credit for this, because this is a fair point. This is what he had to say. Tennessee is screwed. He's talking about the Nico Amleava situation and the departure, of course. Tennessee screwed. They got a problem. Everybody's saying, nice job, Tennessee, making a stand. I've got a little comment on that. Tennessee plays Florida usually every year in October. Can you imagine that game's going the other way and Coach Heupel grabs a microphone, stands on the 50-yard line at Neyland Stadium and says, it's okay, I made a stand way back when. The truth of the matter is, right now, everybody's praising Tennessee for taking this stand, not selling their soul. But if they go 7-5 or 8-4, I don't know if we're going to have that same sentiment. Right? Like, I think that very much is the truth.
Well, and that scenario is very much on the table for Tennessee. It could quickly become a situation where you bring in a replacement-level quarterback, not even like a Nico-caliber guy, like somebody farther down the list, to kind of get you through September, And then you kind of turn 2025 into a season of building, a season of hope where, all right, we're going to try George McIntyre or we're going to try Jake Merklinger at quarterback and see what they can do and build towards 26. I mean, 2025 could realistically become a punt season for Tennessee. I'm going to be honest, Gabe. I don't see the playmakers at wide receiver. I mean, some of the concerns that Nico's camp is putting out there are valid. I mean, the offensive line looks okay, but not great. The receiver play, from what I can tell, has not been upgraded significantly from last season. It was a huge concern last season. I don't know that they've done enough to address that. So, like, there are concerns with this roster, and that was the case for me even before Nico decided to transfer, was kicked out, or whatever, however you want to look at it. I was most certainly not going to have Tennessee going back to the college football playoff in 2025. And you know what, man? It could be that Josh Heupel looked at the roster and saw the same thing and said, well, you know, if we off ourselves to Nico, save ourselves some money, then we can at least point to that as an excuse for why we underperform. Because I don't think they've landed the players and the talent that they need to go out and compete, regardless of who their quarterback is, at the highest level in 2025. So whether Nico's there or not, yeah, there's a good chance this is an 8-4 type of season for Tennessee. And at least now it'll be, hey, you know, we kind of leaned into this, right? Like, this was our decision to kind of go this route and make it a rebuild. And that might kind of buy Heupel a little bit of good grace in the end. But no, I mean, I don't see this being a particularly fruitful season for Tennessee, but I really don't think it was going to be before all this happened.
Now, more SEC quarterback news today. This one from Ole Miss. Ole Miss, of course, has Austin Simmons, and I actually – you know, the very little we got to see of Austin Simmons with Ole Miss, I was impressed. Lefty, got some juice, came in of that one drive. Or was it against Georgia? Handled business. They ended up winning that game. They bring in a quarterback from Ferris State, D2, Trinidad Chambliss. He threw for 2,925 yards, 26 TDs, ran for 1,019 yards, 25 TDs last year. This is an interesting pickup. Obviously, D2 to FBS, especially in the SEC, hell of a learning curve. We're going to see how that goes. But it feels like, you know, this truly is an option going forward for Lane Kiffin to see, okay, can he beat out Austin Simmons coming up in fall camp, and will he be the quarterback going forward?
I love stuff like this. Take a flyer on a guy from a lower level because you know he's not got his hand out for a big payday. He was at D2. He was making $0 probably before transferring. So give him a shot in camp, see what he can do, right? There's no – really nothing that can go wrong here. I mean, unless the guy is just a total cancer in the locker room or something, give him a shot. You get another look at a guy. I think stuff like this is really smart. Go out and get players from D2. Go out and hire young, bright-minded assistant coaches from D2 or JUCO or whatever it is in this era. I think more programs would be well served to do stuff like this. I mean, look at Cam Ward, dude. He started out at Incarnate Word. I know it's not Division II, but right. It's a lower tier FCS program. I'm gonna be honest. When we were in San Antonio for the Final Four, we were in an Uber. We drove past Incarnate Word, and I was like, "Oh, Incarnate Word
that's
from
it.
San Antonio?
Yeah,
like,
that's the one."
I was like, "Oh, there it is. Okay, right." And so Cam Ward came from there, and we're talking about him being a potential number one pick in the NFL draft. So I don't think there's any harm in going this route. And well, Austin Simmons should be the guy, I think, but he's still young. He hadn't played a lot. So bring in some competition. I think it's smart.
I think most of it too is like they need a serviceable backup because I think their backup, his name escapes me right now. I know George, Ole Miss guy, they have a backup that's hurt right now. What's his name?
Yeah, from what I heard, backup quarterback AJ Maddox hurt his hand.
Okay, so he's hurt. Well, hurt his hand. Maybe he'll be ready by the season. But yeah, just bring in more.
Depth,
you need depth. You need a serviceable quarterback room. And Lane Kiffin can think outside the box, and he can coach quarterback. So we'll see if he can get that D2 guy going. Bit of news, and I know these guys are going to the NFL draft. They'll probably be first-round picks. But out of Colorado, a little generational daddy ball going on. Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter will have their numbers retired, 2 and 12 respectively, during the spring game on Saturday. What are your thoughts about this just months after they left? Months after they're going to the NFL?
Seems a little quick.
Yeah, for sure.
A little quick. Travis Hunter won the Heisman Trophy, so I get that one.
Shedeur's the one that everyone's debating right now, and I get it.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Like, he was fantastic. Don't get me wrong, but we don't know for sure that he's going to be fantastic in the NFL. I feel pretty certain saying Travis Hunter will be. Even if he's not, he still won the Heisman. Shedeur, that one seems maybe a tad premature. Also, these are numbers that a lot of people want to wear. I mean, these are regularly worn numbers. 12, and then what was Shador? Was he 2?
He was 2.
I can't remember. Yeah, 12 and 2. So now all of a sudden you take off 2 of your prime numbers. That might hurt you in recruiting a little bit. I'm just saying. Like,
sure. Unless you get a Seth Hennigan who just changes his number every year.
Yeah, there you go. No, it's Deion living in Deion's world, and like he can do what he wants to. That's the beauty of Deion being at Colorado from Deion's perspective. Like, nobody's going to tell him no. he makes the rules there. That's kind of a nice place to be. He's his own boss. Like, he runs that program like Bill Self runs Kansas basketball. You know, he did not a whole lot of people to answer to. And so I bet if you're a Colorado fan, you're probably down with this. Like,
yeah,
that's who it matters to. Like, the rest of us can talk to her blue in the face about it. But if you're a Colorado fan, you're coming off a really fun season, a Heisman Trophy winner. You're talking about getting a first round draft pick at quarterback. Like, yeah, I mean, I bet this fires up the Buffs, and that's what it's all about.
I don't necessarily agree with Shador getting his jersey retired coming up this weekend. That quick, kind of ridiculous. I will say, though, if I'm making the case for the kid, he holds 100 school records at Colorado, mostly single season, broke the program passing touchdown record in 2 seasons for a 2-season period. He has the longest passing touchdown streak in FBS and FCS history. He won the Unitas Award. He was an All-American. He was Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year. I think the biggest thing, though, and why it's too quick is because I don't think we fully grasp the impact of Travis Hunter or Shador Sanders until we get down the road a few years, 5 or 10 years, because we know that the Colorado program was dead and they brought it back to life, but I don't know if we feel that right this second. The impact, I think, will be felt in a decade. That's when you probably should have done this for Shador.
Yeah, you make it a big, like, hey, NFL hero comes back thing. So
yeah.
Like, by doing it now, you sacrifice a chance to have a really special, I mean, not that you can't honor the guys 10 years from now in some other fashion, but like, look how special it was when the Grizzlies core four, three of the four who've had their jerseys retired so far, look how special those ceremonies are. And you get TA back, you know, a couple months ago, and all the stories, and like, you miss out on that by doing this now. I don't think there's any real harm in doing it now. It gets you on the talk shows, like, you know, whatever, but you miss out on what could be a really special moment down the line for that program.
Now, Travis Hunter, what do you think about him playing both sides of the ball? CBS Sports, he told you guys over there that if he doesn't get a chance to play both sides, he wants to quit football. He's obviously bluffing. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. But what do you think about him playing both? I made this case yesterday, and I want you to hear it and give me your opinion. The case I made is, I don't know if Travis Hunter, if you just decide he's a corner or decide he's wide receiver, that's what he's going to play. I don't know if he's a top 5 pick, but the whole aura, the whole idea, the whole reason you bring him in is because you're drafting 2 players in 1, right? Like, that's the idea that I think makes him a top 5, top 3, top 2 pick.
Yeah, right. Tell him what he wants to hear, honestly. Like, if he's that good of a talent. Like, if you're considering drafting Travis Hunter and he's kind of saying, well, I'm not going to come play for your franchise unless you give me these assurances, well, tell him, yeah, we'll play on both sides of the ball, and then we'll see how he feels once he goes through training camp in the NFL, once he goes through preseason in the NFL. And then look, you can always honestly say, hey, you're going to play both sides of the ball, but then it's a specialty package, or it's not
right.
65 snaps on both sides of the ball.
He ain't playing 86% right? I mean, of the entirety of the snaps at the NFL level. You have to skew it one way or the other.
Right. And so, yeah, you can kind of entertain the idea, right? I don't think there's any harm in that because he's so talented. You'd be silly to lock yourself into one side of the ball with that guy. Just like any MLB franchise that employs Shohei Ohtani would be silly to say,
right,
no, you're never going to pitch for us. But the reality is, like, Shohei Ohtani's best value is as a hitter. So you got to figure out, like, where is Travis Hunter's best value? I think it's at corner. I think he's absolutely worth a top 10 pick as a corner. I mean, he made some of the best defensive back individual highlight type of plays at Colorado over the last 2 seasons that I've ever seen from a college player. Not to mention he was pretty sick as a receiver too. So, you know, I think you lock him in as a corner, and then you work him in situationally as a receiver. So no, I mean, I'm totally down with Travis Hunter playing both sides of the ball, but I think at some point he'll have to be realistic about, you know, is he really taking 90% of the snaps on both sides of the ball?
That's a fair stand to have better as a corner than he is a wide receiver. I will say in this draft, though, I think he's got more value as a wide receiver considering the other wide receivers. It's not a good wide receiver class. I mean, you have Matthew Golden and Tet McMillan. Those are the guys you're competing against for the most part.
Yeah, but you think about where he fits in the NFL, like relative to this class.
Sure.
I won't argue with you there, but you know, once you actually get into the league, you know, is Travis Hunter a Pro Bowl or All Pro caliber receiver? Maybe. There's no maybes about it at corner, though. I think he absolutely is at corner.
Okay, that's fair. And I will say the team that likely will pick him at number two, the Cleveland Browns, they could use him on both sides of the ball. They were last in QBR targeting wide receivers, 31st in yards per attempt targeting wide receivers, last in TD to INT targeting wide receivers, and defending wide receivers last year, they were last in QBR, 31st in yards per attempt, and 31st in TD to INT. So he could help that team on both sides of the ball. I know the Giants at number three said Joe Shane, their GM, who's certainly on the hot seat, said he would use him on both sides of the ball. So I think most of the people that are thinking about taking him that high have that idea in mind. But David, I'll let you roll, man. I appreciate you joining.
All right, brother. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. He is David Cobb at David W. Cobb on X. College football, college basketball writer at CBS Sports. He's brought to you by Oxbow, the family-owned and operated retail store that's been making waves in Memphis for over a decade. Get to their convenient location. When you drive Poplar, you pass them every day. Stop passing and go in. Off Poplar on June Road behind the Amoco Station, 964 June Road to be exact. It is the most unique retail experience in the city of Memphis, bar none. You can get the men's casual clothing. You can get T-shirts as well. Like, they have everything in there. You know, Genteel, Howler Brothers, Martin Dingman. Go get a Genteel polo for your favorite team. They have Grizzlies, Tigers, SEC favorites, Ole Miss, Alabama, Tennessee, Arkansas. They have all of that there at 964 June Road at Oxbow. But this is where it gets unique. They have new and used vintage vinyl. On the top floor, they have hunting and outdoor essentials, perfect for the waterfowl hunter. If you're a guy that likes to get out, or a gal that likes to get out and tailgate during the football season, they have cups, coolers, and koozies by Yeti, all of the essentials. And don't forget, and I have taken advantage on more than one occasion, they have the best selection in the Mid-South when it comes to entertainment and sports memorabilia. They have signed posters. They have posters in general. They have the card selection. If you're somebody who collects cards for Major League Baseball, NBA, whatever it may be, they have signed cards. They have regular card packs you can go and pick up. But it's so unique, so fun, very enjoyable store to show up to, 964 June Road, off Poplar on June Road behind the Amoco Station. But if you don't want to go in-store, they have an online store as well. ShopOxbow.com, that's ShopOxbeau.com, and fill up that shopping cart with whatever your heart desires. Take your time. But when you go to checkout, use my promo code, TheGabeShow, all caps, no spaces. Again, TheGabeShow, all caps, no spaces. And if you put that promo code in when you check out, you'll get 20% off your online order at ShopOxbow.com. Pretty good deal. Whether you're going online or in-store to 964 June Road, remember to shop local, shop Oxbow. Now, I know we've spent a majority of the time today talking about the Grizzlies and what happened last night in that play-in game, but there was another play-in game last night in the Eastern Conference where the Magic got over top and they created a matchup, a seven-game series, Magic versus Celtics. We'll talk about that game, break down that series next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
A gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So believe it or not, the Grizzlies and the Warriors weren't the only game last night, even though it was the only good game. We did have the Eastern Conference 7-8 play-in game. The Magic ended up getting over top 120-95. It's kind of a throwback game, I guess. Both teams awful from three. Teams combined for 25% from three. But I'll say this. I watched that game when I got home from the show. The Hawks were absolutely dreadful. Horrible. Did not have it. Had no chance. Once the Magic crowd got into it, it was over with. The Magic bench, good night for the name Anthony. Anthony Black, 16 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. He was a plus 34 team high. And then you had Cole Anthony, who was 26 points, 5 assists, plus 32. And he was really their only good three-point shooter last night, did a really good job. What's funny to me, though, and I obviously haven't talked about it, but the Orlando Magic don't come up a lot here at 92.9 FM ESPN. But for those that don't know, the starting point guard for the Orlando Magic, did you know this, George? Were you familiar with this before you saw it last night? Starting point guard for the Magic is Corey Joseph. Corey Joseph is the starting point guard for a playoff team in the year 2025. He was part of the 2011 draft class, so he's year 14 into this thing. He was drafted in the 2011 draft class at number 29 to the San Antonio Spurs. He was between Norris Cole at 28 and Jimmy Butler at 30. But I can't explain it. He's been a revelation for whatever reason for the Orlando Magic at point guard. The Magic are 12-5 with Corey Joseph in the starting lineup. They didn't expect to play him. He was going to be a deep bench guy. I saw this, and it just blew me away. So when he is on the floor with Franz Wagner, Paolo Banchero, so it's Corey Joseph, Paolo Banchero, Franz Wagner. They played 127 minutes together. Their net rating is 14.41, meaning they are 14 points better than the other team on offense, or better than their normal on offense when he is on the floor with their two stars, Franz Wagner and Paolo Banchero. When they take him off, so it's Franz Wagner, Paolo Banchero on, Corey Joseph off. They've played 629 minutes this year like that, minus 0.57 net rating. So they're about a point worse than the other team when Corey Joseph is not on the floor with Franz and Paolo. And their offensive rating with him on the floor is 123.46 versus 108 without him. How does that make any remote sense? And obviously they needed answers when Jalen Suggs went out. I get that. But the fact that they drafted two point guards relatively recently in Anthony Black, who may not even be a point guard. He's 6'7", plays good defense, maybe need to put him on the wing a little bit more.
Yeah.
But you had Anthony Black and Cole Anthony. They couldn't do it. While a 33-year-old lifetime bench player, Corey freaking Joseph, could? That boggles my mind. It makes no sense.
And, like, hear me out. The even more interesting thing with this is, like, the counting stats don't even back up any, like, main.
No.
Like, he's kind of a minus
averages
defensively.
Averages 5-3-3, if I'm not mistaken, on the season.
You'd be expecting him to be a really good facilitator, maybe dish it out. No, I mean, he had 2 assists last night. It doesn't make
any
sense.
And honestly, most games, they will take him out pretty quickly. He plays like, I don't know, 18 to 20 minutes.
He played 18 last night.
But the other guys that come off the bench, and Anthony Black and Cole Anthony, are better off the bench than they are starting. And, hey, you find answers. Sometimes basketball and lineups and rotations, they don't make a whole bunch of sense. But Corey Joseph has figured it out also last night in that game, though, and probably the more important thing. That was full crash-out mode by Trae Young.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
2 techs immediately. He nutmegged Wendell Carter Jr. It was a hell of a play before he got kicked out. Nutmegged Wendell Carter Jr., hit a floater to cut it to 20. But then he trolled the entire officiating crew. Threw a chest pass about 95 miles per hour at one, gets the technical. And then while the ball was inbounded and they were trying to figure out what they were going to do with the ball, he stole the ball from the other official and then, I guess, pump faked him and acted like he was going to throw it to him. They said he was making a mockery of the game. They gave him another technical and kicked him out. That was full crash out mode by Trae.
Oh, 100. And like, again, spin zone. Did you hear what he said about it? More or less, like, I'm sticking up for my teammates, that type of. Come on.
I watched that game. I didn't feel like the officiating crew had much to do with the outcome. I felt like the Magic just beat the hell out of them.
Yeah. In a way, I'm kind of glad I was at work and didn't have to watch this game.
Making a mockery of the game, though, did make me laugh.
That's a great line,
too. Watching the ref when he pump faked the pass, like, flinch was absolutely positively hilarious. Couldn't get over it. Now, hour number 2 of the Gabe Kuhn Show is presented by the Memphis Showboats. Get your tickets now to see the Showboats at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. Go to UFL.com or call 901-341-7008. UFL.com or call 901-341-7008. Now, I wanted to bring this up.
Yep.
And obviously, I have a good relationship with the Showboats, and they're 0-3. They really struggled this past weekend at home against Houston Roughnecks. Couldn't get a win. They lost 18-17, and it was bad ball at the end. I'm going to be completely honest with you. It was 18 seconds left. They were down by 7, and they were on the 1-yard line going in, trying to get the game-tying, game-altering touchdown. And they lined up with 8 guys on the line after a shift, got an illegal shift, got backed up 5 yards. Troy Williams, though, their backup quarterback, who they brought in after E.J. Perry threw 2 picks and changed the game. He had a pick 6 and threw another one on the ensuing possession. He ran it into the end zone and still got the touchdown. They just couldn't get the 2-point conversion to ultimately win. But the story today, and this may be a UFL-wide story, it's just kind of frustrating. Ken Wisenhunt, who stepped away the week before the season started for he's been on the show every week since, but he had some health issues he was dealing with. He's officially stepped away now. And Jim Turner, the offensive line coach, who I've talked to on the show when Ken Wisenhunt was not on the show, he's going to take over for the remainder of the season. Man, again, I want to be nice because I love the people over with the Memphis Showboats and Steve Macy, their GM. He's done as much as he can. He's done a really good job of trying to get people out to the stadium, trying to get people to buy in. You know, they have cheap concessions, cheap tickets. He's been around the city all over the place. I give a lot of credit to the people that are trying to make it happen. But when you have things happen like this on the playing field and in the coaching staff, and you just don't have anything to, you know, any roots down. It's just, I don't know what the future is for the Showboats in the city of Memphis. I hope it works out. I've always hoped it works out. And I think they have the people in the front office and in the sales department that can make it work out, but you have to have some help from the product.
Yep.
And they have not gotten that yet. It's frustrating, man, because I love the people that do all the behind-the-scenes work, but you have to have a team and a coaching staff that's bought in just as much as those guys.
Yeah, it's – and, again, this is also coming from someone who isn't as close to the organization, but from everyone that I've talked to, everyone that I've met through you guys here with the organization. I mean, everyone's just great people.
Yeah.
And to see the product be as lackluster as it's been.
And inconsistent, and just, you have coaches stepping away and coming back. It's just, it's frustrating as hell.
Like, the first word that comes to mind is it's kind of a mess, and I hate to use that phrasing for it, but, I mean, shoot, now we're not even four games in. We've technically had two head coaches already at separate times, one interim twice now, and one who's stepped away. And then at the same time, they're also 0-3. They've been in close games. We can see that they're really pushing for that win, but it's just not coming together. The puzzle pieces just are still scrambled.
The people behind the scenes can work as hard as they want to try to get the community involved.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you have to have a good product and a consistent product and a product you know and names and faces. And Ken Whisenhunt being in and out like this, and I hope he's okay. I know that there were some health issues. That's why he took his first leave of absence.
Oh, of course.
You just have to have some consistency there for those guys and all the work they've done to try to make it a reality for it to pay off. I feel bad for the people that have put a lot into this thing. And Steve Macy, my guy who was on the show when we went over to Gossett Kia South. Like, we were over there. Gossett Hyundai South. I should say Kia South. Hyundai South. They've worked their butt off, but you have to have a product that you can latch onto. That's the truth of it. All right, now, I promised you this. We had one winner earlier, but we have two more tickets to give away to the Grizzlies game, play-in game, to go play in the 1-8 matchup in the Western Conference versus the Oklahoma City Thunder. Two more tickets, 901-450-929 is the number. 901-450-929 is the number. Two more tickets. And we'll just give it to the first caller. First caller, if you make it first, 901-450-929, you get two tickets to Friday night's game at FedEx Forum. Now let's go ahead and grab a break. When we come back, we'll get to Small Talk. And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Now I'm going to ask you off the top, King George. King George, do you enjoy the Untold series on Netflix, documentaries, a lot about sport? Have you? They had the Johnny Football one. The sign stealing one with Michigan. They had the Swamp Kings one. The Florida one was more of that was Urban Meyer telling his story.
Plush piece.
Do you enjoy it? I enjoy the Untolds. Netflix is releasing another Untold documentary on May 6th, and I'm very much looking forward to this one because, you know, we're far enough removed. There's less hard feelings about it. But it's going to be about the Gilbert Arenas situation and Javaris Crittenden's situation with the Washington Wizards. You know that Gilbert Arenas and him both got in trouble for bringing guns to the arena. They had a dispute over a game of Bouray on the team plane, and there was a trash talk that followed it. They tried to say it was less about the game and more about the trash talk, but they tried to settle it with guns. Crittenden, though, later in his life, was charged with the August 19th, 2011 murder of Julian Jones, a 22-year-old mother of four. Atlanta Police Department indicated that Jones was not the intended target. They believe that Crittenden was targeting a person who robbed him in April of 2011. And Javaris Crittenden, former Grizzly as well. It's going to be this is a great name, by the way. It's called Untold Shooting Guard. Shooting Guard.
Yep.
This is going to be fun to watch just because Javaris Crittenden, the way I understand it, got out of prison in 2023. He was there for voluntary manslaughter. Got out in 2023. And to my understanding, he's tried to change his life around, and him and Gilbert Arenas, even though they had all that beef back in the day, and you know, when they were with the Washington Wizards, apparently they seem to be really good, awesome friends. And I think there also is something we'll learn about Gilbert Arenas. Gilbert Arenas, I believe, from a monetary standpoint, helped hold down Crittenden's family and Crittenden by the time he got out in 2023. So it should be a really fun story. I like Untold and how they go about their storytelling outside of the Swamp Kings. Swamp Kings, they didn't do enough.
That was an interesting one.
Yeah, to say the least. There were so many crimes they could have covered, and they didn't even get into Aaron Hernandez. They didn't do any of that stuff. But this one, I think they'll...
This one seems really interesting. This one should be good.
This one should be relatively good, and I am excited for it. But that's going to do it for today. It's been a fun day. We'll be back tomorrow. Make sure you stay tuned for Jeff Calkins. We'll be on the show tomorrow at 5:00. We'll have Kyron Samuels on to talk about the Nico Hamileava situation. I'm sure he's got some real thoughts on that. Of course, he's from SI, covering college football and NFL. We'll get to some NFL draft as well. Tonight, you can watch the play-in games. We'll see who the Grizzlies will play on Friday night. It's either going to be the Mavericks or the Kings. Coming up here in about 30 minutes, you're going to have Heat versus the Bulls. Heat have not looked very good since they got rid of Jimmy Butler, but that's to be expected. Both those games will be on ESPN. But again, that is a wrap for today. I want to thank David Cobb and Dennis O'Connor for their contributions to today's show. We'll meet back here same time tomorrow. In the meantime, we'll pass you off to ESPN National. It'll be Amber and Ian relatively soon. For George, for King George, Italian George, I am Gabe Kuhn. Be easy, be safe, and make sure to enjoy the rest of your night.